This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley of Broadcasting and Cable Magazine and TVWorthWatching.com, in for Terry Gross. Ever since John McCain sought and won the endorsement of Pastor John Hagee, a quote from Hagee's 2006 interview with Terry has appeared in many places, including CNN, Newsweek, The New York Times, and The Daily Show. As you've read or heard that soundbite, you may have wondered what else John Hagee had to say in that interview. So we're going to play it back for you, and Terry will explain the story behind it. But first, here's part of that soundbite that's been used so frequently since the endorsement. This is Pastor John Hagee on how Hurricane Katrina was, as Hagee described, God's retribution for a homosexual parade that was about to take place in New Orleans.
All hurricanes are acts of God because God controls the heavens. I believe that New Orleans had a level of sin that was offensive to God, and they were recipients of the judgment of God for that.
Hurricane Katrina was not the focus of my 2006 interview with Pastor John Hagee. The main subject was a lobby group Hagee had formed earlier that year called Christians United for Israel, also known by its acronym KUFI. KUFI follows what its website describes as a biblical obligation to defend Israel and supports Israel's right to the land by biblical mandate. Hagee also believes that the second coming of Jesus is imminent. There are 10 prophetic signs of the end time, he says, and Israel figures into at least 4 of them: plague in the Middle East, the rebirth of Israel, the Jews returning home, and Jerusalem no longer being under Gentile control. Here's an excerpt of a sermon from Pastor John Hagee's collection, Jerusalem, Countdown to Crisis.
In May 1948, Israel was reborn. How many of you were alive on May 15th, 1948? It was the most important prophetic day of the 20th century. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 24:32, when you see the fig tree, national Israel, begin to bloom again, know that my coming is nigh at the door. Behold, one generation will not pass away until all things are fulfilled. We are racing toward the end of time. We are not living in the last days. We're not living in the last hours. We're living in the last minutes of the dispensation of grace. In 1967, the Six-Day War united Jerusalem under Jewish control. Why is that important? Because the Gospel of Luke says, when Jerusalem is no longer trodden down by the Gentiles, then shall the end come. The Bible says, when the Lord builds up Jerusalem, when he builds up Zion, he will appear in all of his glory. So the Bible is screaming, when you see Jerusalem united, when you see it beautified, when you see it built up, the Messiah is coming. And when you see these signs in the heavens and the sun, the moon and the stars and the waves of the oceans that are roaring, what did God say? He said, lift up your heads and rejoice. Your redemption draweth nigh. I want you to do it, Cornerstone. Rejoice. The King of Glory is on the way.
Pastor John Hagee organized a Washington summit in July 2006 to introduce his group, Christians United for Israel, to senators and congressmen. Speakers included Ken Mellman, who was then chair of the Republican National Committee, and Senators Sam Brownback and Rick Santorum. President Bush sent a recorded greeting. Senator Joe Lieberman spoke at KUFI's second annual summit last July. Before I spoke with John Hagee in September 2006, I spoke with Israeli journalist Gershom Gorenberg about why KUFI is controversial among many Jews. Gorenberg wrote about the Christian Zionist movement in his book The End of Days. Here's a short excerpt of that interview with Gorenberg. What is your understanding of Christian Zionism?
Well, I would say that in the first place, it's something of a contradiction in terms, because the people who promote the idea of Christian Zionism are looking at Israel in mythological terms. They're seeing the Jews as actors in a Christian drama leading toward the end of days. Real Zionism as a Jewish movement is a movement aimed at taking Jews out of the mythological realm and making them into normal actors in history, controlling their fate and acting for pragmatic reasons connected to the here and now. So what's called Christian Zionism is actually very distant from Zionism.
What are the specific political and territorial goals that you think Christian Zionists have for Israel?
Well, they take a position on Israel and on the Middle East that would put them at the far edge of the radical right within Israeli politics. They're opposed to any concession whatsoever of land for peace. They tend to treat any process leading toward peace as an illusion, if not a conspiracy. Some of their leaders at various times have spoken explicitly of the idea of expelling the Palestinians from the West Bank. These are all positions that, as I said, would put them on the radical right within Israel. They're deeply opposed to the idea of a Palestinian state. They tend to support military action over diplomacy. It's worth stressing that this puts them far from the mainstream of Israeli politics.
I've spoken to some Jewish Americans who consider themselves, aligned with Christian Zionists, and I asked, well, do you think it's in your ultimate best interest to be aligned with groups whose ultimate goal is the second coming of Jesus? And to which they've responded, well, we as Jews know that that's not the real truth, that's not going to happen, so why not have an alliance with people who support the same goals for Israel that we do? The same kind of political goals, and why not support people who just are going to back Israel and back the protection of Israel? What would you say to that?
I think that, first of all, there's a tremendous disrespect implied here, strange as it may seem, for the beliefs of the Christian Zionists. These are people who live very much by their theology, and this attitude says their theology is irrelevant to me. I'm not relating to them as believing people. So I find that ironic. The second thing is, I think that there's a misunderstanding here of what an apocalyptic vision is. When somebody says that they're hoping for the end of history, for God to come and fix the world, they're saying that they see something broken in the world as it is today. Part of the end of days vision of the Christian Zionists is that the Jews will die or convert to Christianity. So what they're saying about the world today is they don't see Judaism as a legitimate religion. And I think it's strange for Jewish groups to align themselves with people who show, a theological hostility for Judaism.
When you say that, you know, in this scenario of the rapture, Jews will either convert or die, my understanding of that is that in this version of the rapture, that all Christian believers immediately ascend to heaven, and everybody else that can either convert and ascend to heaven too, or they remain on earth for the tribulations, which is a series of plagues and famines and wars and other catastrophes.
Yes, that is true. This is a view of all so-called non-believers, but normally in the documents of this religious stream, there's a particular focus on the Jews, because for this form of theologically ultra-conservative Christianity, one of the great scandals remains that the Jews have not accepted Christianity. They believe that a literal reading of the Bible necessarily, in their eyes, leads to an acceptance of Christianity. The Jews are the keepers of the Hebrew Bible, and it's stunning that the Jews continue to refuse to read the Bible in what they consider to be its simple meaning that would lead to Christianity. This is the cognitive dissonance which is at the core of their beliefs, and they expect the end of days to resolve this dissonance. I would add one more thing about these kind of scenarios. If you read their literature, they inevitably end up with the Battle of Armageddon on Israeli soil. All events are expected to lead to this immense conflict, which will take place in Israel. The verse that's cited over and over again is that the blood will flow as high as the horse's bridle. So they're expecting war and conflict, and they're seeing this as something positive. Everything that would lead toward Middle East peace, they see as an illusion. For Israelis looking toward their country's security and future in this world, in history as it continues, the most necessary step for us is finding a way to peace. So the people who are proclaiming their support for Israel are actually working at cross purposes to Israeli interests and needs.
Gershom Gorenberg, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been my pleasure.
That was Israeli journalist Gershom Gorenberg, originally broadcast on September 18, 2006, just before my interview with Pastor John Hagee. Hagee says the rebirth of Israel and the restoration of Jerusalem is a prelude to what else needs to happen in Israel before Jesus returns. In this excerpt from one of Hagee's sermons, he describes what will happen just before the end of days and the second coming.
In 2 minutes, let me tell you where we're going from here. This prophetic portrait paints the following sequence of event for the future. America and Europe become weakened and cannot respond to Israel in the time that Russia and the Arab invasion begins against Israel. This is God's plan. Why? Because he wants the Jewish people in Israel and around the world to know that he, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saved them, not America. Secondly, Russia with Arab allies will plot and plan Israel's destruction. That's happening right now. It has been happening for 10 years. Iran's nuclear weapons have been produced with Russian scientists. The Islamic Arabs are using the roadmap to peace to get all of the land of Israel they can get. And when Israel finally says enough, you're going to see the beginning of the implementation of Ezekiel's war in 38-39. The critical point is the church is raptured before this war begins. I am telling you that makes this message one of the most thrilling prophetic messages you've ever heard in your life. You could get raptured out of this building before I get through finished preaching. We are that close to the coming of the Son of Man.
Here's my 2006 interview with Pastor John Hagee. Pastor Hagee, you say that when Israel finally says enough to attempts to take its land, you'll see the beginning of the implementation of Ezekiel's war. What is Ezekiel's war?
Ezekiel's war, in chapters 38 and 39, it's known in the Bible as the war of Gog and Magog. And in Ezekiel 36, God gives the promise to the Jewish people that he's going to bring them out of their Gentile graves. This was given through the prophet Ezekiel when the Jewish people were in captivity. In 37, there is the dramatic presentation of the Valley of Dry Bones that come together to become an exceeding great army. This is a physical portrait of the nation of Israel that has been, if you will, in Death Valley for almost 2,000 years, because from the diaspora of 70 A.D., until the reentrance into Israel, May 15, 1948, they were in Gentile graves. And then in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the prophet Ezekiel very explicitly describes the war that's going to happen at some point in our future, where Russia organizes Islamic nations to come against the state of Israel. And the end result of that war is that God himself is going to stand up and defend Israel, and the enemies of Israel are going to be crushed in such a dramatic fashion, quite similar to Pharaoh in the Red Sea, that all of Israel will recognize that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is indeed the Lord.
In your interpretation of biblical prophecy, what has to happen in Israel before the rapture?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is no Bible prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church.
But there's things you don't want to happen. You've said that you don't want Jerusalem to be divided as part of any peace plan. You didn't want Israel to withdraw from Gaza, and you don't want it to give up any territory in the West Bank. Why not?
Because the Bible has a very specific verse in Joel, the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse, that says almost verbatim what I'm going to quote to you based on which translation you will be reading. And if the Bible says that I, the Lord, will cause the nations to come down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment. And the reason that I'm going to judge the nations is because they have divided up my land and my heritage, the people of Israel. So that verse very clearly says that any nation that forces Israel to divide up their land will experience the judgment of God.
And what will happen during the rapture?
What will happen during the rapture is that Paul writes in the New Testament that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. That means instantaneously every believer will leave this earth.
Now, most Christians who believe in the rapture believe that the believers who will be raptured are Christian believers.
It's a misnomer for the Baptist, the Presbyterians, the Catholics, the Pentecostals, the Methodists, whomever. I know when you hear their preachers preach, you get the idea they're the only ones going to heaven. That's one of the reasons I have a non-denominational church. I was raised in a denomination, and many times I heard the exploits of the denominations being touted more highly than the exploits of God Himself. But there is no market on who's going to heaven. Only God Himself knows who those people are who are walking and living as they should.
But everyone else who I've heard talk about the rapture believes that it's Christian believers who will go to heaven. Jews, Muslims, non-believers will be left behind to face the tribulations on earth.
Well, there are Jewish people who believe in Jesus Christ, and there are Arabs who believe in Jesus Christ. So you don't have to be a Gentile to be a believer.
But you do have to believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes, you do, to be a part of the rapture.
Pastor John Hagee speaking with Terry Gross in 2006. Hagee has been in the news since his endorsement of Senator John McCain. More after a break. This is Fresh Air.